Next on our agenda is no. We'll see. At the very end, we will give a door prize. Okay. The Social Security Act provisions that pertain to persons who are blind or visually impaired, we have Tatiana Kalachik, who is a technical expert with SSA here in Sacramento. We also have Janet Manukian, SSA technical expert, here also from Sacramento, California. And the presentation will cover disability requirements, work rules, IRWEs, BWEs, earnings limits, and Medicare entitlement. Please join me in welcoming our speakers today.
Hello. My name is Janet Manukian. I am from Social Security Administration, and it is my pleasure to be here today. I am a technical expert for this Supplemental Security Program. I'm a technical expert for SSI program, so I will speak about SSI benefits and Social Security disability programs will be covered by Tatiana. We pay benefits to people who are blind under two programs, the Social Security Disability Insurance Program and the Supplemental Security Income, or SSI as we know. The medical rules we use to decide whether you are blind are the same for each program. The SSI program makes payments to people with low income who are age 65 or older, or blind, or have a disability. Whether you can get SSI depends on your income and resources. Income is money you receive, such as wages, Social Security benefits, pension, etc. Resources that we count in deciding whether you qualify for SSI program include real estate, bank accounts, cash, stocks, bonds, and so on. You may be able to get SSI if your resources are worth no more than $2,000. And if couple may be able to get SSI if they have resources worth no more than $3,000. Social Security makes a distinction between individuals who are disabled and individuals who are blind. To receive Social Security disability benefits due to blindness, individuals must meet the SSA definition of being statutorily blind. This is defined in the following manner. Statutory blindness is defined in the law as central visual acuity of 20 over 200 or less in the better eye with the use of correcting lens. An eye which has a limitation in the field of vision so that the widest diameter of visual field subtends an angle no greater than 20 degrees in considered to have a central visual acuity of 20 over 200 or less. It is very important to understand that the legal blindness is not the same as statutory blindness. Although this phrase is more commonly used by the general public when referring to individuals with significant visual impairments. It is quite possible for an individual to be considered legally blind for the purposes of state or local governments while still not meeting the strict standard of being statutorily blind for SSA purposes. It is not possible to determine whether or not a person missed the blindness test without an examination conducted by a qualified medical professional. If an individual does not have blindness as diagnosis, he or she may request that SSA perform a medical continuing disability review to establish blindness as the primary disability. This change in designation of disability may be requested at any time, but should most definitely be pursued if an existing visual impairment becomes worse over time, or if loss of vision occurs because of a related disabling condition such as diabetes. Establishing blindness as the disability of record is important because SSA provides certain special rules to blind individuals which are not applicable to recipients with other disabilities. In addition, there are certain advantageous work incentives which are only afforded to persons who are receiving benefits based on blindness. There are several critical differences in the way SSA assesses eligibility for SSI benefits for individuals who meet the definition of blindness. First, unlike with the Social Security Disability Insurance Program, there is no 12-month duration requirement for statutory blindness in SSI program. This means that if an SSI claimant is found to be otherwise eligible and statutorily blind, he or she is eligible regardless of the anticipated duration of his or her blindness. Second, under the SSI program, a statutorily blind individual is eligible for SSI payments even if engaging in substantial gainful activity or otherwise called SGA, as long as all other factors of eligibility are met, for example, income and resources. In addition to the differences in eligibility determination, blind individuals also are treated differently in the SSI program. When they work, here are some references for the various work incentives available to SSI recipients, and I will indicate which of these provisions are different for individuals who are blind. First, student earned income exclusion, which is available both to disabled and blindness, so there is no difference in student earned income exclusion. General income exclusion, which is a $20 exclusion for people who work, or unearned income, and it is the same for both of them. Earned income exclusion, which is $65 exclusion, again, there is no difference. But then impairment-related work expenses, yes, we see a difference here. All expenses should be deducted as blind work expenses, never as impairment-related work expenses, because they are more beneficial for those individuals who are blind. 1-for-2 offset, which means that we count half of the income. Again, there is no difference. We do for both of them the same. Blind work expenses. Yes, this is the big difference. Deductions for blind work expenses must be related to work and paid out of the pocket. It does not have to be related to disability. Plan for achieving self-support, or otherwise called PASS. Since more earnings may be excluded under blind work expenses, and thus there is no less countable income for working SSI beneficiaries, PASS may not be a powerful point for those individuals who are blind. Blind work expenses provide a powerful work incentive for SSI recipients who are statutorily blind. Essentially, the cost of any work-related item paid by a blind person may be deducted as a blind work expense, regardless of any non-work benefit that may be derived from the item or the item's relationship to the person's blindness. For blind SSR recipients, using the blind work expense deduction would almost always be preferable to claiming the expense as an impairment-related work expense. This is because blind work expense do not need to be related to the disability, but only an expense incurred by working. Because of this rule, there are a great many more expenses which would qualify as a blind work expense, which would not be allowed as impairment-related work expense. When we figure your SSI payment amount, we calculate blind work expenses differently than impairment-related work expenses. We do this because it always results in a higher SSI payment amount for you. Here are some examples. I just would like to give an example if someone works. Let's take Kathy, receives SSI and is working. She is working 40 hours a week per $10 an hour. This results in a monthly gross earned income of approximately $1,720. Kathy is neither a student nor is she under 22, so she's not eligible for a student earned income exclusion. Kathy pays all of her own living expenses. Kathy takes transportation that costs $120 per month. Kathy meets the definition of statutory blindness. What can be subtracted as blind work expenses? Let's count. Kathy has $120 in transportation a month for work. She pays state and federal taxes, FICA, and local taxes of approximately 20% of her earnings, as we all know that. So it comes about $344 for Kathy. Kathy eats at work and she reports spending approximately $30 per week on her lunches, so approximately $129 per month. After asking Kathy any additional questions about work expenses, it is determined that there is these are all of the applicable deductions. So the estimated total of Kathy's blind work expenses comes to 593. Now, how do we calculate Kathy's SSI payment? Here it is. Kathy has no unearned income, so she has only $1,720 earnings. She's not a student. Since there is no other income, we can give the $20 general exclusion. So if we subtract $1,720 minus $20, we get $1,700. Then we subtract the earned income exclusion, $65. So it leaves us $1,635. Then we divide the remainder in half. So $1,635 divided by 2 is $817.50. Then subtract total estimated blind work expenses. As you remember, we had $593. So we deduct from $817.50 the blind work expenses of $593, it leaves us $224.50 in countable earned income. Because there is no unearned income, the total countable income for Kathy equals only $224.50. This is the amount that would be subtracted from the current benefit rate to calculate Kathy's benefit. For example, now in California for 2013, the maximum SSI rate is 86640. And if we subtract her countable income of 224.50, she will still receive 641.90 from SSI. Notice that the most of the blind work expense deductions would not have been deducted as impairment-related work expenses if Kathy was not statutorily blind. With SSI, work always adds to total income available to pay monthly living expenses. But with blind work expenses, work even is more beneficial. The blind work expense exclusion applies only to earned income. Blind work expenses in excess of the earned income an individual receives during the month are never deducted from unearned income. Here are some examples of blind work expenses. Service animal expenses, for example, the cost of purchasing the dog and all associated expenses like food, breast straps, license, veterinary services, and etc. Another expense, transportation to and from work. The other one, meals consumed during work hours. The actual value of the meals, whether bought during work hours or brought from home, can be as a blind work expense. Medical devices. Examples, braces, inhalers, pacemaker, wheelchair, all the cost of the items plus maintenance and repair of such items, whether the individual work at home or at employer's place of business, can be counted as blind work expense. Non-medical equipment services, example, childcare costs, air cleaners, uniforms, portable room heaters, safety shoes, and etc. Other work-related equipment services, examples can be job coaching fees, typing aids, one-handed typewriters, and etc. Some other expenses are federal, state, and local income taxes. Social Security taxes, attendant care services, visual and sensory aids, translation of materials into Braille, professional association fees, union dues, and a lot more. Now I would like to speak also about student earned income exclusion. It is available if you are blind or disabled and are age 22 or under and regularly attending school. We do not count up to $1,730 of earned income per month when figure your SSI payment amount. However, the maximum yearly exclusion for 2013 cannot exceed $6,960. Regularly attending school means in college or university for at least 8 hours a week, or in grades 7 to 12 for at least 12 hours a week, or in a training course to prepare for employment for at least 12 hours a week. We apply student earned income exclusion before the general income exclusion, that $20, or the earned income exclusion, the $65, or blind work expenses. Now I would like to turn it over to Tatiana to cover the Social Security Disability Insurance Program.
Thank you. Thank you, Janet, for covering the supplemental income program. My name is Tatiana, and I have been with the Social Security Administration for the last 4 years, and I'm currently a technical expert for the Social Security Disability Insurance Program. Unlike supplemental security income program that is basis eligibility on income and resources, Social Security Disability Insurance Program provides benefits to disabled or persons who are blind who are insured by workers' contribution to the Social Security Trust Fund. The entitlement is based on disability and contribution to the Social Security system while you work and pay Social Security taxes. Like Janet explained, both programs share many of the same rules and terms. However, there are some differences in rules. Social Security's definition of disability is the inability to engage in any substantial gainful activity by reason of any medically determinable physical or mental impairment which can be expected to result in death or which has lasted or can be expected to last for a continuous period of not less than 12 months. I want to highlight that you must meet the 12 months duration requirement for Social Security Disability Program. People who are getting Social Security disability benefits can continue to receive their benefits when they work as long as their earnings are not more than amount set by law. A number of work rules called work incentives make it easier for people receiving disability benefits to work. If you cannot continue working because of your medical condition, your benefits can start again and you may not have to file a new application. Social Security Disability Insurance work incentives are similar to SSI work incentives, but there are also some differences. Social Security Disability Insurance work incentives include things like work period, extended period of eligibility, expedited reinstatement, Medicare continuance, impairment-related work expenses, subsidies, special consideration, and ticket to work program. The first incentive is a trial work period, and it is specific only to Social Security disability. It allows an individual to test ability to work for at least 9 months, in which Social Security benefits are paid regardless of how much is earned. Currently, in 2013, the limit for trial work period is $750 a month. Trial work period continues until you have worked 9 months within the 60-month period, and each month that you earn $750 or more is considered a trial work period month. Second incentive is extended period of eligibility, which is also specific to the Social Security disability. Extended period of eligibility begins after 9 months of trial work period. An individual has 36 months during which they can work and still receive benefits for any months where the earnings are not substantial. 2013 substantial earnings limit is $1,040 a month for disabled individuals and $1,740 a month for individuals who are blind. Please note that supplemental security income does not have this incentive and looks at the income and not substantial earnings. Simply stating, during the extended period of eligibility, individual gets the payment for the months where the earnings are under the substantial gainful amount limit. Another work incentive the Social Security Disability Program has is an expedited reinstatement, and this incentive is considered after your benefits have stopped because your earnings were substantial, and within 5 years after your benefits have stopped, you may ask us to start your benefits immediately if you can continue working because of your condition. Another incentive is Medicare. Medicare Part A usually continues for at least 93 months after trial work period, and Part B usually can continue with Part A as long as premiums are paid. So usually you still can get Medicare coverage even though you don't receive it anymore due to your work. Social Security Disability Insurance also has impairment-related work expenses, and this is another work incentive that is similar to SSI. However, I want to highlight that for Social Security Disability, this incentive applies differently than how it is applied on SSI program. Work expenses related to your disability for items or services that you need to help you work and that you pay for yourself can be deducted from monthly earnings before we determine if you are still eligible for benefits. Those items or services must enable you to work, must be related to your physical or mental impairment, must be paid out of your pocket and not be reimbursed, and be reasonable. Examples could be the transportation cost, attendant care services, medical devices, residential modification, routine drugs and medical services, diagnostic procedures, non-medical appliances and devices, and some other items and services. Another incentive that Social Security Disability Insurance Program has is Ticket to Work Program. That is an innovative program for persons with disabilities who want to work and participate in planning their employment. A Ticket to Work Program increases your available choices in obtaining employment services, vocational rehabilitation services, and other services you may need to get or keep a job. It is free and voluntary, and it is available in all 50 states. Briefly, I also want to mention self-employment and work evaluation when self-employment is involved. We evaluate self-employment a little bit differently, and we are looking at the number of hours worked and the services performed. However, when blindness is involved, we base our evaluation of work on self-employment earnings only and not the time spent in business. For Social Security disability, age is also very important. Special rules apply after the 55th birthday for individuals who are blind. If earnings demonstrate substantial gainful activity, but the work requires a lower level of skill and ability than the work individual did before age 55, then benefits are suspended and are not terminated. In this case, eligibility for Social Security disability insurance benefits continue indefinitely, and benefits are paid for any months where earnings fall below substantial gainful activity. We also get a lot of questions about disability freeze, what it is and how it is used. Disability freeze result in a change to benefit calculation and insured status calculation. Years during a period of disability under disability freeze can be excluded from calculation in general, resulting in a higher payment. And now I will turn it over to Janet to cover special notices option and to wrap it up, and we will take questions after that.
I would like also to mention that there are a number of services and products specifically designed for people who are blind or have low vision. First, Social Security notices. You can choose to receive notices from us in one of the following ways: standard print notice by first class mail, standard print notice by certified mail, standard print notice by first-class mail and a follow-up telephone call, Braille notice and a standard print notice by first-class mail, Microsoft Word file on a data compact disk, CD, and a standard print notice by first-class mail, audio CD, and a standard print notice by first-class mail, or large print, 18-point size notice, and a standard print notice by first-class mail. The other one is publications available in alternative formats. We make all of our publications available in multiple formats, and most of our publications are currently available in audio format on our website, www.socialsecurity.gov/pubs. To request copies of these publications in alternative formats, you can go to our website, www.socialsecurity.gov/pubs/alt-pubs.html in order to order online. I would highly recommend visiting our website, www.socialsecurity.gov, It is a valuable resource for information about all of Social Security's programs. In addition to using our website, you also can call us toll-free at 800-772-1213. I repeat, 800-772-1213. But of course, I recommend to go to the website. So, okay, and at this point, we are open to ask questions.
Okay, if people could stand up. We have a woman who stood up right here in the front first, and then everyone else stay standing. Go ahead.
I am a quadruple survivor. At birth, I wasn't expected to live. July 29th, 1951, both of my parents saved my life. I am very fortunate to have any vision at all. I am now legally blind in my left eye. I want you to take me seriously because my beloved domestic partner, Jackie, and I are post-foreclosure eviction survivors, and we're very fortunate to live in our house. The past plan is one heck of a federal joke, and so is that ticket to work program, and I am not going to allow you to take away my dignity.
Thank you
Never.
Very much. Thank you very much. Next
Thank
question,
you.
Please.
Oh, after all of that, it's one hard act to follow. At what point, Rick Plath.
Thank you, Rick.
From Burbank, California. At what point, if someone is receiving SSDI benefits, and then they reach the age of getting benefits for Social Security, at which point, what are the implications attached to all of that, et cetera? Because I know they change from 62 to 65 to 67, depending upon the year we're talking about. And, of course, now what is the situation in 2013?
I'm sorry, could you repeat your question again?
I understand. Yeah. That was a lot, so.
I know.
That was a little bit too much for me to
At what point,
summarize.
Go ahead.
At what point do SSDI benefits cease? At what age and Social Security benefits kick in? And what are the implications attached to all of that? Does that clarify it a little bit?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once you are on Social Security benefits due to disability, the benefits cease due to medical improvement and work. If you work and your work is substantial, your benefits can cease due to work later, and then depending where you stand later on in life, you might... Usually, the benefits are paid indefinitely unless they are ceased due to work or medically.
When do Social Security benefits kick in? At the point of 65, 67, and do disability...
Are you asking about retirement benefits?
Yes.
Okay. Retirement benefits, the earliest retirement benefits can start is age 62. However, if you are receiving disability benefits at that point, your disability benefits continue at the full rate. Indefinitely until you pass away.
Until you pass away, is what she said.
I don't know how to say it.
She said indefinitely. However, folks in the audience are stating that there has been a rule change. Is that what I'm hearing? Okay, hold on 1 second. If we can give Bernice a microphone very quickly.
Once you attain retirement age, the disability rules change and you are now under rules that pertain to retirement. That's what they're asking. How do those rules change?
Thank you for clarifying the question. Rules change at age 66 because disability rules do not apply any longer, and we only look at your earnings. However, earnings after 66 do not matter because you can earn as much as you like after 66.
Now, before we take the last three questions, which would be Ken Metz, Jeff Tom, and Michael Thomas, I would like to remind folks that we are definitely an organization that can agree to disagree, and let's respect our speakers as well. So, Ken, thank you.
Let's see. Oh, there we go. Okay. Hi. And yes, I certainly respect the speakers and appreciate everything they've said. However, let me say that it's not the speakers. It is the system sometimes. When I've worked with several people in Southern California. It's, by the way, it's Ken Metz, and I'm from Chatsworth, California. I've worked with several people down in Southern Cal that have had a lot of questions on Social Security disability. A couple of the problems include the fact that they have walked into offices to apply where their blindness is obvious and apparent. I've even had one person who actually had two artificial eyes that they took out when the person didn't believe them. And to tie up the system, they still sent them for an eye exam.
So what is your question?
So my question is, why is the process so slow when something is obvious and apparent? And if it's happening to one person, and I've known others, you know, where they do this, why is it that Social Security is spending that type of money to send obvious and apparently blind folks for eye exams?
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. When we take an application from individual, we collect all the information and send it over to Disability Determination Services for medical determination. Because in an office, in a Social Security office, we are not trained in medical decision regardless of what we actually see. So we have to send it to a medical specialist. And medical specialist usually does not see the person who applies, and they send... Usually they send the claimant to the medical professional, medical doctor, who makes evaluation and send that evaluation to the medical examiner who makes a decision. Does that answer your question?
Okay. Well, you're just saying it doesn't make sense to you, but she answered the question. Yeah. And
my name...
Go ahead, Jeff, and Bernice, okay. Don't worry, I will.
Jeff Tom from Sacramento. I'm a retired state employee who's on the verge of becoming Medicare eligible. So my question is not the substance of the whole thing. My question is, where do you think the best place to go is for me to obtain information as to the interrelationship between my state benefits as a retiree and Medicare? Should I go to Medicare specialist through Social Security, or should I go to the state, or where do you think is the best place to you learn about all that?
The best place would be the whole Social Security office. If you speak to one of our service or claims representatives, we would be able to answer your questions that would pertain your state retirement and Medicare.
Okay, thank you.
Michael, and then. I'm going to give Bernice the microphone. Bernice is, let's go to Michael first. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. I didn't really come here to do this today, but it seemed like today I'm just an advertisement for my agency. But I guess I did, because they did send me, I'm still getting my salaries, even though I'm here. So
you
guess
know what?
I
you guys don't let him leave, okay? We need to bring him into the family, right?
But basically, to answer Jeff's question and some of you other guys' question that I know you have in here, and thanks to Social Security Rest for coming in. But Disability Rights California, as I said before, our mission is, we are a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to protect the rights of people with disabilities. That's in all phases of life. And we do have specialists there, like myself. Even though I do the client assistance program, my really specialty is the Social Security Administration. I'm the PABS coordinator where the program is coming back online, but protection and advocacy for beneficiaries of Social Security. I'm the statewide coordinator in California. We have PAVS advocates in each of our offices. We have work groups of people. We do all types of benefits at Disability Rights California. So when you need that advocacy services for understanding all the rules and regulations of Social Security, because the speakers here did a good job on giving you a brief snapshot of what those programs are about. But as you guys probably already know, it's a lot more complicated than that. And we have advocates. We have our main office here in Sacramento. We have a Bay Area office in Oakland, one in L.A., one in San Diego. Okay, so you can contact our office and you can talk to a specialist who's going to be an advocate or attorney who specializes in benefits who can assist you, and we can walk you through the whole Social Security system from application to overpayments or to going off of SSDI onto the SSA system and tell you how all those things work. And we work a lot of times, our specialty is helping people go back to work. So all of the work incentives they're talking about, we show you how to implement that and how to do all of that. Okay, so, our 800
number. That's
for
the phone number.
The 800 number at Disability Rights California. Let me see if I remember.
Come on now. Come on.
It's 1-800-776-5746.
All right.
And I'll... We have a website. You can go to our website. We have a lot of publications and everything. And although, Social Security has the Red Book and they have and a lot of stuff, we do a lot of stuff from the advocate's point of view. May break some of that down.
I'm going to share with you as well is Michael is a member of BAC with us. Michael is also visually impaired. He is legally blind. And... I have a feeling we're going to be getting to know him a little more. Repeat the number, please. And then we'll give it over to Bernice.
The 800 number is 800-776-5746. If you're locally here in the Sacramento area, it's 916-504-5800. And our website is www.disabilityrightsca.org.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Let's give the microphone over to Bernice, and then we will have a door prize before we adjourn. Bernice.
Okay. Back on Ken Metz's question. as far as I know, this provision has not been removed from the law that the Social Security Administration has the right to. What's the word I want to use? Declare presumptive disability when a person is in the office, in person, and that Social Security employee is able to identify one of at least eight conditions listed in the bill. And the person's benefits can start while they are going through the process of developing the medical part. And I believe that that's, when a person takes out their prosthetic eyes, I believe is one of the conditions falls under the condition of presumptive disability.
Yes, you are right. There is presumptive disability, but that is only for SSI program. That is the reason I think when Ted had the question why they have to send it. So if they apply for supplemental security income, which is SSI, we can make a decision if we see they are totally blind, we can immediately start paying them, but at the same time, we still have to send the decision to be made finalized by DDS. But we can start paying them immediately. Yes, but that is only for SSI program. Please do not be confused. Social Security disability does not have presumptive disability.
Okay. Everyone, please join me in thanking our speakers for being here today. Okay, folks. We are going to draw a door prize. We have $25 in cash and a candy bar from the Silicon Valley chapter. And if we can have one of our guests draw the winning name. That's right. Eugene Lozano Jr., where are you? He is at the end of the table. Gene, yay. Wonderful. Thank you, everyone. We are adjourned.